Splash, splash, splash. Splash your sass. Splash your sass. Hey with Amy, Quinn Lee. Splash your sass. Starting now with Amy, Quinn Lee. Go. What up, fools? Welcome to the Splash Your Sass podcast. I'm your host, Amy Quinn Lee, and today we are here to recap Jeff Lewis Live. For the week of March 11th to the 15th, starting with Monday, we had Melissa Rivers in the house and Joey Zauzig. So Melissa's getting married. Congratulations. Isn't that what you're supposed to say when somebody gets married? Congratulations. On your impending divorce. No, oh my God, I'm kidding. That is so rude. Am I really going to start off this Friday like a rude little pig? Guess so. Oink, oink. All right. What the fuck? Melissa Rivers is getting married on a ski chalet weekend getaway. It sounds like the setting of a Lifetime movie, but honestly, it's actually terrifying. Like in your mind, you can create a romantic, oh my God, it's snowing. We're going to be in a ski resort town and it'll be like little Cindy Lou Who's running around everywhere and everyone, it's going to be such an amazing event and no one will invite the gay Grinch. So we'll all have a great time. But instead, all I can think is, do you know how many accidents happen at a ski resort? Like, that is just so crazy. It's basically like inviting all of your wedding guests to go bungee jumping. Like, hey, everybody, so we're doing a bungee jump weekend getaway. So if you want to come bungee jump with us and watch us say I do while we're swinging 40,000 feet below. No, 40,000 sounds like an extremely high amount. I don't really know how to do measurements, but clearly, but I'm going to guess that, yeah, you don't really bungee jump the same height that an airplane would be flying, a commercial airplane, unless you want to die, bitch. Get your oxygen mask on, only strap yours on, never strap anybody else's. That's what they teach you on those airlines. I think that's what they say, right? Put your mask on and then sit there quietly and don't help anybody else. That's all I hear. Okay, so the good news, though, about like all of Melissa Rivers' guests coming to this beautiful ski weekend and potentially having catastrophic injuries before this big wedding, the good news is that Melissa doesn't give a fuck. She don't, honey badger, don't give a fuck. No, there's three big events that she actually cares about you attending. But even those, like, I feel like she's inviting all these people really for the semantics of it all. I think if she would be very okay with it just being her and her future hubby on top of the Matterhorn. No, but other than those three events, she literally does not care what you do. Go get eaten by a pack of coyotes, go trigger an avalanche and fall down a cliff. Like, what? Sure, Timmy, that was on your time, so get the branches out of your hair and go help Aunt Melissa get ready. Honestly, I obviously love Melissa's attitude. I'm honey badger for life. I don't give a fuck. But I'm just saying, for anybody else out there, if you do give a fuck, I would say don't have a high adrenaline sporting activity in the same vicinity as your wedding. You know, you get it. You get it. Okay, so then we move on to some Oscar fashions, kind of. It was really just about the Margot bag. I thought they were talking about Margot Robbie's actual handbag that she brought, but apparently a Margot bag, it's a thing. It's like the Birkin. We're sick of that. Bye, bitch. Bye, Birkin. Bye, Felicia. Hello, Margot. Hello, Miss Margot. No, but did you guys see on, I think it was Paris Fashion Week, some designer had a purse made out of air. What do you mean? A purse made out of air? I can read a million things about it and all of that, but I can't actually conceptualize what that is unless I'm holding it. Like, what do you mean it's made out of air? I'm sure there's one other ingredient in it, obviously, but can it blow away in the wind? Is it, can I have clothes made out of air? Will they blow away? That could be a fun little risque thing. You like go out on a dinner date and the guy sitting across from you, you're wearing your Air jumpsuit and he just like whoosh and takes a huge deep breath and all of a sudden your clothes just go flying off and he's like, oh my god. Oh my god, I didn't mean to do that, but he did. He did mean to do it. And I mean, if you're going to wear shit out of Air, then yeah, that's one of the risks. But this Margot bag, back to the Margot bag, you guys, it is made by The Row. The Row, not LuLaRoe, but The Row as in Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, all right? We talked about them a few weeks ago for an unrelated issue. We didn't even know that Margot's bag was going to be the new It Girl of the season. So this bag is like $5,000 to $7,000, I think. And Melissa felt guilty about buying it. And I was like, Melissa, Liz, listen up, Liz. Does anybody call her Liz? Okay, so you can't feel bad about it. You cannot feel bad about buying anything from The Row because Mary-Kate and Ashley, those two strawberry blonde little motherfucking angels, they were plucked from their nursery crib to work under the bright lights, starting at age less than two. They were months old when their career trajectory, like, did you ever hit the peak of your career at 6 months old? Can you imagine? Like, they did not have a choice in the beginning makings of their life. And so now in their elder years, I mean, they're in their 30s, but just saying. So if now they want to sit and work in their own little sweatshop and just make these like baggy Kanye West type clothes and make a bag that even Margot Robbie's dying to get, like, great, amazing. These girls were basically child laborers. They were child laborers in the entertainment industry. And I know that there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them out there, but look, I was desperate for escapism through entertainment in my childhood. Not much has changed. But the Olsen twins, they were my favorite entertainments growing up. So I just will defend them to the core. Everybody, go buy a Margot bag if you want. Go buy a bag made of Air. Go buy a bag made of poop. I don't give a shit. Literally, I don't give a shit. Love you guys. Okay, so we really covered about 0% of the Oscars this whole time, which is fine. The only thing is Jeff kept on being like, oh, Melissa's going to be on, talk about the Oscars. He's the one that built it up into this Oscar episode. And I'm not talking Oscar the producer for once. No, I'm kidding. I actually feel a little bad. I'm like, I always have Sour Patch Syndrome where I say my true feelings and I realize they're a little harsh. And so then I want to be sweet. But specifically with Oscar, because last week I kind of insinuated he was making JLL jump the shark a bit. And so they put him on the back burner this week. And I think we're back on the shark. I think we're getting back on the shark. So sorry. Love you, Oscar. Okay, but back to the Oscars, the award show. Honestly, I didn't really give a shit that they didn't cover it that much because award shows in Los Angeles, Hollywood, whatever, it's like high school plays, okay? If you are in the high school play or you're a family member or a friend of someone in it, Then you care. Does the rest of the world give a shit about your high school play? Not really. And that's how it feels. It feels like all these award shows, it's just like an elevated prom. And like, who the fuck wants to go to prom, you know? I mean, I guess sometimes it can be fun to make out with a boy and then watch all of, like, literally 10 teachers press up to the window staring at you guys making out. That was my high school prom experience. Anybody else? Okay, but they did spend pretty much the entire episode talking about Jeff Lewis's outfits, Joey Zazu's outfits, call her Brenda's husband's outfits. Isn't it so fun to hear about what strangers are wearing for 45 minutes straight? Isn't that so fun? It's my favorite activity after watching paint dry. Okay, moving on to the Tuesday episode. We had Miss Jackie Schimmel, bitch, and Doug Buten, motherfucking Buten, bitch. I don't know, something about Doug just gets me a little riled up. Just Buten, bitch. So we talk more about the Margot bag. Wow, what a diverse week we had. No, but we really did a deep dive into the row. And again, Doug was going on the train with, I get worried that people just buy expensive, trendy shit, just like the Stanley Tumblr cults. Now listen, Stanley Tumblr cult, that is an actual issue. That is a epidemic that the United States of America has been facing for years now. I don't know if the outreach has extended globally, but it has impacted our socioeconomics in the worst way. You're either a rich bitch with a Stanley Tumblr or a poor fool with a plastic cup of water. Like, I don't know. And then you have the exceptions to the rule, like Kim Zolciak, who loves to, she could get the Stanley Tumblr. Well, this is back in the day. I don't think Kim Zolciak should be buying anything right about now, buying anything except Uncle Sam a birthday present. She's got some reparations to make up for, okay? But so the Stanley Tumblr cult, whatever. I'm just like, Doug, I get it. The Stanley Tumblr cult is very something we should be worried about. But the Margot bag, again, just because it is the Olsen twins and they were child laborers for our, like, we just watched them work their arse off. Again, if you hit the peak of your career at 6 months old, if you are making more money than your parents at 6 months years old, in today's day and age, it would be a little baby influencer. If you are a baby influencer, then you get a pass just like Mary-Kate and Ashley, all right? I'm just putting that out there. Okay, so Doug is a little nervous. He's a little nervous, guys. He's going on a Boeing. He's going on a Boeing. So Doug is the one who, like, got me because does a lot of airplane talk on JLL, a lot of airplane work. And so he's gotten me into, like, looking at what actual plane I'm taking when I go places. What I'm trying to say is that Doug Budin gave me a complex. He gave me a motherfucking complex. Jeff Lewis has given me plenty of them that I've worked hard with my therapist to recover from. Those include big vaginas, saggy boobs, big nipples. I don't know, whatever woman body part he wants to shame me for next. My shitty car, sure. Yeah, piece of shit me. No, not with a, definitely don't have a Stanley Tumblr over here, right? But I do come from a Stanley Tumblr family, if that makes sense. I'm just the black, non-black Stanley sheep. I'm Black Stanley. Wasn't that a book? Flat Stanley. Flat. Black Stanley was in The Office. He was the best. Okay, so on the Boeing complex, you guys, the whistleblower from Boeing that just died, are you fucking kidding me? He just suffered the same death as Jeffrey Epstein, aka alleged suicide, alleged. Heavy on the alleged. You could really cross it out, but I don't want to get sued. So we'll just stick with alleged, but not really. It's so scary out there. So basically this Boeing guy, and I told my dad this, I was like, look, I have an issue right now. I'm trying to book a flight for next month, and there's an airport right near me, or there's an airport over an hour away, and it's the worst, like big city congestion, traffic. When everyone's trying, I want cars to be made out of air. I want. So when people are driving, I can just put down my window and huff and puff like the big bad wolf until their car blows away. There'd be no one left on the road. Again, we've talked about my road rage. Okay, anyways, with this whole airplane thing, the bottom line is that one airport convenient, but I would have to ride in a Boeing. The other airport not convenient, don't have to drive ride in a Boeing. My dad, he was like, Amy, if you're so scared about the Boeing thing, I'll just go with you. I'll go with you. I'll be like your handler. I will deliver you on your flight to where you're going on your Boeing. And I was like, so on where are you going on that Boeing? And so I was like, Dad, you want to die with me? Are you saying you want to die with me? That is the sweetest thing ever. It's like a murder-suicide kind of thing. Daughter, dad, and daughter. Except unintentional. We don't want to die. That's the issue, is that I would like to be alive. I love it. Love it. Sometimes. So thank you, Doug, for giving me the Boeing complex that has only been confirmed time and time again with the Boeing. You guys, the ex-head of Boeing, he said, word for word, I would never put myself or my family on a Boeing ever again. Once I heard that, I was like, done, done. Same, bro. Even though I probably am taking one next month. But so anyway, and then it cuts back to dating. This is why I can't date, because no boy has ever offered to deliver me. Like, that is my dad's solution. Like, I'll just go with you and die with you. That is the sweetest thing. It's the sweetest thing. So I feel like Jeff Lewis would be like that with Monroe. Except she wouldn't need a Boeing. She'll have her own private jet, Monroe Air, by the time she's 10 years old. Mary-Kate and Ashley bought their first jet at 3. Just saying. No, I'm kidding. They were probably 11, because, you know, with inflation back in the day, the dollar wasn't, you get it. Okay, so then on JLL, this was jarring. This was in the worst way. Is jarring ever a good thing? But Jackie has pink eye. She has pink eye from playing in her son's poopy diaper. Fecal matter. I swear, every time I'm at a house with kids, which is often, I'm always like levitating off the toilet when I use the bathroom, because I just picture there's pee everywhere. There's poop all over these kids' hands. They're just like baby built of poop. Kids are built of poop. They're disgusting. They're the best things, and they're our future in this world, but kids are disgusting. And Jackie's disgusting. Love you, Jackie, but this was fucking gross, bitch. So not only did Jackie have pink eye, but she also traveled with pink eye, went to a giant event with pink eye, and then we learned that she went to a store and tried on a bunch of sunglasses with, guess what? Yeah, you guessed it. Her pink eye. Her motherfucking pink eye. You're about to get a black eye for me, bitch. I'm kidding. I swear, I'm like the least nonviolent. That's a double cancellation. That would mean I am violent. No. I'm the least violent person sometimes. Just in verbiage. I speak violently, but my persona's nice and peaceful. So, Jackie, you really are asking for a black eye with all that pink eye shit, because the fact that you tried on sunglass after sunglass with your germy, nasty, mucus-infested eyeball puking out shit to spread those germs, not just to the people trying them on, but then they get it. They're giving their loved ones a kiss. Their loved ones get it. Now Grandma Pearl has pink eye all because Jackie Schimmel had to try on 50 pairs of sunglasses. What the fuck? That's what we call a citizen's fine, bitch. I am a huge believer in citizen's fines. I think that there's not enough police to go around. So we all have to be accountable in our own way. And citizens should be able to fine each other if they see gross ass bitches with pink eye trying on sunglasses, that's disgusting, in a public store. That is the easiest way to spread that shit. It's not like Jackie's trying on jackets. Jackie, I like your jacket, Jackie. That used to be a YouTube clip of the person would like tape their nose back and be like, hey, Jackie. Jackie Schimmel would know what I'm talking about if you guys don't, but if you don't know, now you know, playa. But I'm just saying, Jackie Schimmel, citizens fine, you owe the world. You owe the world $20 each for that shit. Because that's like intentionally trying to hurt others. I don't fuck with that. That's not even a citizens fine. This is a real lawsuit. Jeff, do you know any lawyers I can talk to? Do you know any lawyers, Jeff? I don't think you've met any before in your lifetime. You've done a really good job staying out of the courthouses of Los Angeles over the years. Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Okay, so moving on, Jeff has PRP treatments for his hair growth and has 2 Xanax ready to go. And Doug Budin, he was like, hey, can I have half of one for later? And Jeff's like, obviously, I have plenty where that came from, batch. What the fuck, you guys? Was this shocking to anybody else? Last week, I was like, Kelly Dodd, she was saying how she's like a grandma behind the wheel of a car. And I was like, wouldn't you expect Kelly Dodd to have the worst road rage ever out of any of us? And then Doug, I was like, Doug, you're a pill popper? I don't know. I feel like our Dougie is like so pure and stuff. But clearly, I don't know these fools. So yeah, sure. Xanax for everybody. Jeff, send them this way. I clearly need a million. Okay, moving on to the Wednesday episode. We had Fortune Feimster, the motherfucking Weimster, the living in the dream, sir. So get down on your knees, sir. Get down on your knees, bitch. For Megan Weaver, too. Megan Weaver and her beaver, everybody, Fortune Feimster. Feimster and Weems... Feimster and Weaver kind of rhyme. It's a stretch. It's a stretch. But I just went to the gym, so I'm feeling limber. Okay, so Jeff got... Ew, that was weird. Jeff got 500 injections yesterday. Yeah, so the PRP, it happened. And they took the blood from his head, and now they have to spin the blood. And there's something that they thought, like the imagery of spinning blood makes me want to fucking vomit. I feel like it's a laundromat, and instead of like suds and bubbles in the little window of the laundry, is it your socks fly around? Instead, it's like disgusting thick blood, thick oily blood. Just, I feel like that's what blood. If you jumped into a pool of water, it's like splish splash. I was thinking a bath. You jump into a pool of blood, and it's like die. I don't know. Blood's gross. Okay, so moving on. Look, you guys, we got to talk about this. So we all have our strengths and weaknesses. You got to learn that for yourself, your own strengths and weaknesses, but also your friends, okay? Because they're not going to tell you everything, but they will tell you enough that if you pick up on the details of their life, you know when to draw the boundary. For example, I would never go to a dinner party at Joey Zauzik's house, all right? Love you, Joey. I know I'm not invited to any, but between Joey's talked about before, like either not washing his hands after he pees, there was something about the hands. I remember thinking of him the same as Dorinda, who she's done this on multiple Bravo platforms, Real Housewives Girls Trip, Real Housewives Regular Trip, and she like is the type to make like macaroni salad for you with her hands. Like she's like a hand, she cooks with her hands. It's like the chef in Matilda. The chef in Matilda is like this like crotchety old lady who like snorts up her boogers in her hand and then flicks them into the brownie cake batter for Brucey to eat later. Eat the cake, Brucey! And so I'm just saying, but with Joey, the washing, there was something with that. He reminds me of Dorinda. He would just like eat, like he'd be making you caviar, but he would like scoop the caviar out of the tin and put it into an own bowl. But he would scoop it out with his own fucking hands that still had his dick juice on it. His dick juice. All right, I know Todrick coined the doo-doo juice last week. Now, today, we're all about the dick juice, I guess, that is lingering on Joey Zauzig's paws. But also with him almost poisoning his husband and him also eating food that he himself left out overnight that needed to be, very much needed to be refrigerated. Ew, I think it was caviar. It was something disgusting that he double-dipped in the next morning after not taking care of it. So, again... It's fine. That's fine. We love Joey for all of his strengths. But again, I would just never personally want to go to a dinner party at his house. Again, I'm not invited. I would also never get into a car if the Weaver family was driving. The Weaver family was driving. You guys, they have totaled 2 cars within a few months. Both Megan and her son. Like mother, like son. Okay. And it comes in threes, right? Everything, deaths, lives, births, totaled cars come in threes. So Megan, her son, and the Holy Ghost. No, but the third one was actually Jeff's stylist, neighbors, Mario Lopez's grandparents. No, okay, so Jeff tells a story about his stylist who had a brand new car. Had being the key word there, because she works for Mario Lopez, and it turns out she was parked on the street next to the housekeeper's car, and some 88-year-old lady flying up the road smashed into both of the cars and totaled them. She totaled them. So the Jeff stylist was the third in the totaled car situation. Actually, I guess that's 4. That's 4, because now we have Megan, her son, the stylist, and the housekeeper. So now we need 2 more to make 6? I don't know, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, for this 88-year-old person, how fast do you need to be going to total not just 1 car, but 2 cars? And what does totaled even mean? What is, because when I hear totaled, I picture a car smashed up like a little accordion, like a wrecking ball, like Miley Cyrus came smashing in on her wrecking ball and destroyed your car. But I know that it actually means, like, the total of damages outweighs the total of your car's face value. Blech. I get that shit. But I'm just saying, when you say my car is totaled, to me, I'm like, if it's totaled, then it's working great. Everything is totally working. All the parts are totally there. The total parts are there. If you get into a wreck and your car is so beyond repair, then it's either unrepairable. Let's go with that. Unrepairable, not totaled. If anything, it'd be untotaled because it used to be a total car and now it's untotaled and it's in pieces. It's in smithereens because this 88-year-old smashing her way up the Hollywood Hills. Again, what do you mean you hit two cars in total? What kind of damage? What could you have been doing? Did you just literally sit there and just like drive into them and then go in reverse and then drive back into them at full speed? How the fuck did this happen? I need maps. I need visuals. Give me the CCTV footage. You know Mario Lopez got that Ring camera money, okay? He's stacked up over there, so give us the goods. But really, though, if it's totaled, can it be rebuilt? Can they rebuild a totaled car so then they untotal the totaled car? I just think Americans have the worst fucking words for shit, okay? And that's why I just use the bare minimum. Like, shit. Okay, so next we talk about the GLAAD Awards. Fortune is so glad that she wasn't invited. No, that, you guys, okay, so GLAAD invited Jeff Lewis, but not Fortune Feimster. Now, you can look at it and be like, yeah, but they can't invite the same people every year. They got to switch it up and all of that. However, Fortune lets us know that she hosted the GLAAD Awards before, but she doesn't get invited every year. That is a citizen's fine for the GLAAD Award committee members, because that is so wild to me. You guys, if you host an award show, do you want to do that? I fucking don't. That sounds awful. That sounds like so much pressure, so much work, all of that. Like, if you host any award show, you should be grandfathered into that event. You can now come to any future event that you please, unless the hosting goes completely awful, like Joe Coy. Jojo Koi, Jojo Siwa Koi. No, okay, so I just thought that was so rude. And not even the fact that Fortune has hosted the GLAAD Awards, which again, she should be you get a forever invite if you host one time, unless you're Joe Koi. But it's also Fortune motherfucking Feimster, the motherfucking Weimster. She's living the dream, sir. Like, you gotta let greatness be where greatness deserves to be. And Fortune deserves to be glad every single fucking day of her life. So get her to those award shows. Okay, moving on. Jeff and Gage had a tiff. Huh, that never happens. But somebody posted on Reddit that Jeff ignored his daughter to fuck some guy in white pants last week. Don't worry, Monroe. My dad did the same. He did the same to me last week, too, except the guy was wearing black pants. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's all ridiculous, right? Jeff wasn't fucking the guy in white pants. He was just making out with him, okay? Don't get so dramatic, people. But one point of contention with this Reddit user is that they said Jeff dropped Monroe off to get babysit by Jolie all day, Kelly Dodd's daughter. And we learned that Monroe was with Jolie, but it's because Jeff paid Jolie to babysit and they were all hanging out in the same house together. And I was like, wait, Jolie, say she's what, like 18 or something, close to 17, 16? And ew, I just like keep going down. I'm like, all right, say she's 5 years old. No, say she's 16 and Monroe's 6. Like, if that was me and my family and like some my parents' friends came over and they had a 6-year-old and I was 16, I would just be expected to entertain that little rascal, that little hooligan. And I would, we would probably have the best time just like running around in the dirt all day. I don't know. And so it was just crazy to me that Jeff paid Jolie. Like that's so nice. And when you're a single parent and you have friends that you can go to their house and you know that your child will also be entertained and have fun and all that, that's perfect. That's all you could ask for. So I can't with these Reddit users, but and neither could Megan. Megan Weaver could not either. She was like, you should call the FBI. This is a case for the FBI. Didn't Kim Kardashian? I feel like there's a meme of her saying that. Or Kris Jenner. But Fortune. Megan's like, the FBI. And Fortune's instantly like, the FBI? Her voice went up so high. Like the way her voice just like shot up 12 octaves. It was like she herself thought she was about to get interrogated by the FBI. She was like, shit, did I write on Reddit last week about Jeff Lewis? Nah, Fortune, you're good. You're good. Hopefully you're in the clear because Jeff is going to find out who the fuck did it. Who the fuck did it? He hired some sleuth across the country to hunt that motherfucker down. And you guys, Jeff was getting like a little intense about it. He was like, whoever this Reddit user is, you little troll, you're gonna come to light and we're gonna fucking kill ya. He didn't say that. He didn't go that far. But I mean, metaphorically, he's gonna kill anything he can without breaking any laws, if you know what I mean. He'll kill your career. He'll kill your relationship. He'll kill your happiness. Kill your joy for life. Sure, pick any of the above. But I'm just saying, something in me, I got so excited. I was like, let's hunt this fucker down. I don't know. There's something about like somebody being exposed. It's just fun, right? Don't do shitty things unless you're ready for the repercussions. And oh my fuck, I cannot wait to see these repercussions come to light. Okay, enough of that. Let's move on to the Thursday episode. We had Kelty Morning. Just kidding. It's Kelty Night, motherfuckers. Okay, so we go over Kelty's makeup routine, her pro tip for all y'all. Just a little shimmer and shine, baby. A little shimmer and shine, okay? She's all about adding the shimmer into your body's orifices and your face pores and your vagina pores. I don't know, but I hate to be the fuddy-duddy of the group. Actually, I don't. It's my favorite thing. Just like watch everybody like pump the balloon up even faster, harder, get the balloon as big as it can get. And then all of a sudden I just walk up with a little pin. Burst. Boop. Boop. Oops. Did I burst your bubble? Bitches. Okay. So with shimmer and glitter and makeup, now glitter is different, but that is basically just microplastics, which is lovely because I used to love glitter. In fourth grade, my screen name was Glitter Girl. I had a jar of glitter and I would just use it like face wash in the morning and I would just go to school like a fucking vampire. Again, there's many things wrong with me. We get it. But shimmer specifically, there's minerals in it, mica mineral, that are basically mined in child labor operations. So just like I was saying, if any of these shimmer child labor miners, if any of them want to grow up one day and sell a Margo bag for $7,000, then fucking buy that bag if you can and you're willing and you're able to support them for all the torture they had to go through in childhood. That's what I'm saying. Ashley and Mary Kate, sure, they got to live a glamorous childhood under the lights, but they were basically child miners. They were just in a different setting, okay? So I'm just saying, the next time, Kelty, the next time you think that you're shining brighter than the top of the Empire State Building, yeah, just think about the poor little children that are working their ass off every single day in an underground mine trying to get you the minerals that you need to make yourself feel pretty, bitch! I'm kidding. I can't talk. I ordered stuff from Shein last week, and that is like one of the child labor warehouse factory thing. I should, like, every time you get an order from Shein, you're expecting one of the tags on your shirts to be like, please save me and my village. And they give you the number. And I'm only joking because it's not funny and it's sad, but it's also the clothes are so affordable. I mean, we know why they're affordable, but okay, all right, let's move on. So Kelty's husband works at Sirius XM and saw Jeff during that whole fire alarm thing. We talked about the fire alarm again a lot this week. And when I reflect on that day where the fire alarm went off in the Sirius XM building, Jameson said, don't worry, everybody, false alarm. But he was the false alarm and it was a real alarm. And JLL was the last studio to be evacuated and almost died in the fire. They all almost died in the fire. No, they didn't. That's dramatic. But for Jameson to be the fire marshal, tell everybody there wasn't a problem when there was a problem, and what he should have been doing on his duties was to escort them out, but instead he escorted himself out of the position as fire marshal because he realized he could not handle the great power and responsibility that comes with greatness. And so I'm just saying, when I think back on it, all I can think is it is the most Jameson thing to ever happen to Jameson. That comes from such a loving place in my little black soul. But I'm just saying but it just so on brand for Jameson, and it really sums him up to me as a sounds right. Okay, so then on JLL they play a game, Smash or Pass, which is, it's great for me. I love when Jeff Lewis plays games on his show, because I can skip right over that shit. Pass for me, dog. No, I'm sure it's fun for those playing, but it's the same when I watch like basketball or football. I want to play. Tag me in, coach. I don't want to fucking watch others. And so, yeah, I can normally just skip over it, but I took an extra second this time and I'm so fucking happy I did, because Jeff, his first question was to ask Kelty something about Ryan Seacrest, but his word fumble made him say instead, he said, he was like, all right, so tell us all about Ryan Seacrest. And all Ryan Seacrest, I I fuck up my words all the time, so I'm not one to talk, but when one hits so good, Ryan Seacrest, it was a knee slapper for sure. Okay, so then we find out Kelty's drink of choice is tequila mamacita, tequila margarita. Just like her mom, she gets it from her mama. And her mom's nickname, you guys, you know I love a nickname. I love names in general. Even Kelty Knight, like, that's such a strong name. I just love the KK. I'm glad. I hope her middle name isn't Kelly. KKK. Okay. I'm just saying. But also, what if her middle name was Olivia? And it was Kelty Olivia Knight? And so it's cock? I swear I'm an adult. Okay, but Kelty's mom, her mom's nickname when she's on tequila. You guys, are you sitting down? Are you ready for this? Her name's Tequila Sheila! Tequila Sheila! Tequila Sheila? Are you kidding? I have never loved a human without meeting them so much in my life before. Tequila Sheila, you are already a fucking icon. An icon in my life. Oh my god, you guys. Well, Tila, move over, Tila Tequila. We got a new tequila in town, and her name's Sheila, baby. Sheila Tequila is the funniest fucking nickname I've ever heard for any lovely lass named Sheila who also loves a glass of Don Julio. Oh my god, so fucking Tequila Sheila. I want to be tequila. I'm Tequila Amy. What else could it, like, a vodka papa? Vodka. Nothing works as good as Tequila Sheila. That's so fucking great. So then we talk about Kelty's Oscars dress. It was pink, strapless, looked somewhat like a comforter, according to some. She's just a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, right? Let her live. Hopefully she had a Margot Robbie bag to go with it. But they were looking at pictures in the JLL studio of Kelty and her co-host Justin from E! News. And Kelty was like, damn, we look iconic. Are you joking? Look how Kelty's very humble, let me say. No, I'm kidding. I love you, Kelty. But she was like, we're basically the new Juliana Rancic and Ryan Seacrest. I just picture Ryan going on like a sea quest, like he's like quest, like he wants to find treasure in the sea, and he's like, I'm Ryan Seacrest on my sea quest. But before Kelty got out that she was comparing her and Justin to Juliana and Ryan, I thought she was going to compare their hosting skills to the two iconic hosts from the Sandra Bullock classic known as Miss Congeniality. Do you remember the Miss America pageant? How there was like, I think it was William Shatner and that actress who looks to me just like Martha Stewart. Like, it, I always get confused. Growing up, I used to think Danny Tanner was Stephen Colbert. I thought Bob Saget and Stephen Colbert were the same person. I also thought that this lady from Miss Congeniality and Martha Stewart, they were the same person. Hold on, what's her name? Let's see. Candace Bergen. Candace, yep, that's the one. Hi, Martha. Martha. Marsha. Okay, let's just move the fuck on to the Friday episode. We had Anna Kinkosis, and Justin Martindale. Hopping down his Martin trail. So they start by talking about Anna's business, and Jeff was like, it's so crazy because they didn't promote your business on your season of Real Housewives of Miami. And I've also heard from Leah Black and others that their businesses weren't covered on Bravo shows. It's a common theme. We talk about it on JLL. Like, Jeff is always obsessed that he doesn't know these housewives' jobs, like Crystal's and her coconut water empire, or Brynn. He's obsessed with Brynn Whitfield from the New York. And what does she do for a living? What does she do? And it's like, look, I get that you want to know everything about these people. How great. That's very nice of you. But we don't got time for that. All right. This isn't fucking Shark Tank. We're not looking for investors here. We don't need to highlight every single person's business. If I was on it, would I want my business? Of course. However, that's not what the show is. Again, it's not a business show. It's an entertainment reality show. So it's like, yeah, we don't really give a shit about seeing half of their businesses. I mean, not really. Was it fun the first season of Real Housewives of Orange County to watch Vicki Gunvalson hunched over in her back office, clacking away on that keyboard all day, building up Coto Insurance to the mecca that it is? Of course, that was amazing. I loved watching that. But we're not at that point. The show's evolved since 15 years ago. And yeah, watching them run their businesses isn't exactly what we're into. Like, while we're watching the show, we don't want brands shoved down our throats every Tuesday. We don't want to hear, oh, let's go to this person's warehouse and that person's factory and this, like, I personally do not care. To me, these reality stars are really working for their platform, and then they can promote whatever the fuck they want on that platform. Talk about your business every single day if you want. It's your business. Mind yours, and I'll mind mine, okay? But I don't need to know about yours. Like, it's not the show's job to teach us every single thing about each individual cast member. We ain't got time for that, baby, all right? In a perfect world, would that be nice? Not really. I don't give a shit to know about anybody that much. No, I'm kidding. But it is the show's job to put on a motherfucking show, an entertaining show. So, yeah, you feel me? Like, you wonder why we don't cover everybody's businesses. It's boring. On to the next, bitch. I'll watch Shark Tank if I care about real businesses, okay? Sorry to all the Bravo businesses. I know, Anna, your hot sauce sounds great. Okay, so Jeff overstayed his welcome at the GLAAD Awards last night, and he's convinced that it's Michael Beck's fault. Everything is Michael Beck's fault. Hollywood House Lift ratings, Michael Beck's fault. Jeff becoming the town bicycle where everybody gets a ride on him, Michael Beck's fault. No, but basically every time Jeff and Mike go out, ew, Mike? Does anybody call Mike Beck? No, all right, I'll stick with McCall. So every time the two of them go out, it's just double trouble. And Jeff ends up, well, he says that he got home late, but to me, I'm pretty sure he was still drunk this morning. Allegedly. Oh my God, I'm not the Reddit user. I'm not trying to start shit. I mean, it's a joke, people. I don't think you can buy humor on Amazon, but if you can, then you better prime that shit to your house, bitch, because you need it as fast as you can, motherfucker. I'm kidding. I love you guys. No, but Michael Beck actually did a live call-in, of course, because what else are Jeff's friends doing except eagerly listening to his show, hoping that they mention him, name drop their name, so then they can drop a line into the JLL studio and get some airtime for themselves. No, but when Michael called in, he had a really great reframe, actually. He did a good job defending himself. If this was the Judge Lauren Lake show, then Michael Beck would, I think, win this case, because Jeff's viewing it as a negative. But Michael's like, bitch, have you even noticed how I'm your good luck charm? Because the reason that you're staying out so late when we go out together is because you're always finding the cutest guy ever to just make out with all around. Like, what are you talking about? Every time we go out, you get to meet the cutest guy. Like, you're welcome? You're welcome. You're welcome, bitch. But honestly, I am just starting to get a little bit worried. I know that Jeff is trying to convince us all that he's not spiraling too hard and that he's actually just trying to kind of have one last hurrah before he meets Gage 2.0 and gets into another 10-year tumultuous relationship and all that dumpster fire galore. So, yeah, he just really wants to live it up. It's the Amish thing we've talked about, where they a rumspringa, where you just go fucking crazy for a few months. And then, you know, right after that, I'll be a little altar boy, baby. I'll be so good. I'll do anything you ask except for me to put on those pants. Okay, Mr. Priestman, I heard about guys like you. I don't unbuckle nothing. I don't unbuckle for God at any time now, okay? Oh my God, this world is so awful. There's so many sad things that happen. So I'm happy that Jeff is living his best makeout life. And I'm just saying that if Jeff Lewis gets mononucleosis, that disease, the kissing disease, don't blame it on Monroe. Do not blame it on Monroe bringing germs home from school. If anything, Jeff will be the one giving everybody in his household mono, because you don't get to just make out with everybody without any repercussions. I know he had a sty on his eye. Yeah, get ready for cold sores galore to start popping up all over those giant lips of yours. Your giant lips that we love so much. Okay, no, I'm just saying, nothing fun comes for free. All right, nothing fun comes for free. Except for this motherfucking podcast, baby. And we'll be back next week with another fucking recap. In the meantime, just have the best week ever, okay? Just try. Try your best. I love you. Bye.
Splash, splash, play. Splash your sails. Splash your sails.